I hope you enjoy the song, the music video. Initially, I was thinking we'll do this service, all songs, because it's a song of songs. It's meant to be sung, not to be said. But however, I think we better explain some beats before we draw our subjective conclusions and get all our relationship wrong. Anyway, I think you will agree with me that the last song is to be sung as a duet, right? Unless it would be a one-sided love, right? So this song speaks of what? This song speaks of oneness. What the other feels, he feels also. What the other experiences, she experiences also. And there is a deep longing, right? But it is not without frustration. Perhaps in this case, what does the beauty has to do with the beast? In this case, I think it is his appearance, right? And the girl is stuck with him for handsome, for not, or for not so handsome, like in a marriage vow, for better or for worse. Well, we see this literally speaking in the Song of Songs as well. Now, we have just read our responsive reading just now from chapter 4, right? And this is, if you want to know how the girl looks like, this is how she looks like. Next slide. I shall read to you, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn. Each has its twin and not one of them is alone. Your lips are like the scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like the house of a pomegranate." Man, I tell you, if you want to appreciate Song of Songs, go subscribe to National Geographic. You will understand and you will appreciate the Song of Songs. Okay, I was just like, now, but seriously, good looks or not, this morning passage tells us about what? This morning passage tells us about sticking it out, even if they have to face inconveniences. It speaks of the lover, the girl, and the beloved, the lover, the guy, and the beloved, the girl. Their great anticipation for each other. They hope to be together, to drink of each other's love, and soon. And how they cope with their anticipation for consummation is their commitment to stay faithful to each other. And there are precious lessons for us from this morning passage. Yes, there is that kind of feel, right? Now, in songs, you don't say, "Oh, you listen," or you know. But in songs, you use words like, "Do you feel that song? Do you?" You know. So that's why I chose this. This how I say and I convey it to you, that there is that kind of feel, a very strong feel, of having to stay faithful despite inconveniences, right? From this second cycle of song in this morning passage. Now, just a brief background. Now, we see that the girl is being soliloquy. How do we know that? Chapter 2, verse 10 says, "My lover spoke and said to me," right? "My lover spoke and said to me." It tells us that it is a past occurrence, yet it is affecting. It is affecting her presently. And she's finding hard to do anything about being in love. This somehow suggests that this conversation is between the head and the heart. Now we ask, how can the head and the heart communicate? Well, we say in kite flying language, right? You know what's kite flying? Kite flying language, for those probably who have flew kite before. In kite flying language, we say the ulo and the tare, right? The ulo and the tare, meaning to say the releasing and the restricting, all right, of the cat. And in cat's language, in feline language, it would be like tak mau lah, tak mau lah, or mau lah. You know, it's like, okay, literally it means don't want lah, don't want lah, want lah. You know, that kind of attention. If I were to say otherwise, it wouldn't come out just as right. You know, just to communicate to you what the heart feels does not correlate with what the head thinks. You know, that kind of situation, right? The tension kind of situation, which brings us to see, like, you know, in this picture, what do you see? You see that the man don't know whether he wants to laugh, he wants to cry, he wants to get angry or not. So it's a kind of confused state that he is, a kind of tension that is within him, right? Now, how do we, in this passage today, we'll see that this kind of tension is bracketed, is given to us. Last week, we end at chapter 2, verse 7, right? This week, we end at chapter 3, verse 5. And they are bracketed by this phrase, "Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." And what does "do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires" mean? But only that the good and loving relationship must be allowed to develop healthily at its own pace. The girl wants their love to be consummated, yet at the same time, realize that it is not the right time. So after so much of love-inducing thoughts and talk and speech in song, the beloved came back to her senses as if to say, "Whoa, hold your horses, girl." Or maybe, "Hold your hormones, girl." Now, this would suggest that romance culminating in sexual desire is good. But it is good only within God's will, as God has designed for relationship to happen, and therefore the faith and fidelity element comes in, right? And so with this in mind, we can see how the beloved can think deeply, right? This is what scholar says, ruminating deeply, think deeply. But I suggest to you, not only this girl think deeply, but she thinks loudly. She thinks loudly, she sings out, she bursts out in a song with such kind of amorous openness, right? Now that will bring us to the first point, beloved anticipation, verse 8 and 9. And the beloved start by saying what? "Listen, my lover, look." Repeated again in verse 9, "Look." Now this would suggest one of great anticipation, one of passionate longing or even desired pining. Here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. How can we not capture the anticipation of this scene? The girl's voice is so emotional. It's so emotional here. Now, I remember when I was courting my wife, you know, she was all so knotted up, you know. Now, great anticipation waiting for my phone call, just to pick up and hear me saying, "Hello, is it me you're looking for?" Well, it's enough to make her sleepless for at least a week, right? And her heart palpitates, her knees grow wobbly, her stomach in knots. I can see all this because she's not here today. Now, her world went spinning, leaving her breathless and gasping for air. Now, this is the kind of anticipation that is in view here, right? It just takes your breath away. And you know what? Just to be fair, this happens to me also. And I was so kanchiong, right? I was so anxious and ultra sensitive. Every slight noise I hear, I think it is her, my beloved. And every time the car door slam at the car park heightens my longing for her. Not until a call breaks out, no, my anticipation. And it must come from a karangoni man. Karangoni, you get what I mean? So what a damper. It is really a damper. A karangoni man is a rack and bone man. They go around housing estates and, you know, disturbs your sleep and disturbs your, in this case, disturbs my anticipation for my beloved. Anyway, but that did not stop me from longing, my anticipating, even pining silently, as if putting an extra pair of eyes and putting an extra pair of ears out for my beloved, just to hear her, just to see her. Now, just an aside, today, our expectation has taken over anticipation, and for very good reason that my wife's price has been caught, and likewise, my price has been caught too. That's just an aside. It's meant to be a joke, actually. Sorry. Well, anyway, in verse 9, the lover is described as a gazelle or a young stag leaping, bounding mountains and hills. See, we city folks, we won't understand what this means, right? Leaping across the mountains and bounding over the hills means. Except that there's just one time, or remember, yes, just one time, during our staff meeting or during our staff sports day, we agreed to go to Bukit Timah Hill for a walk. Halfway through our ascent, what happened was that most of us were gasping for air. You know? And then some of us were massaging our legs, and others were toweling their perspiration. And others grab, "Why is he there?" which means I want to die already. And yet others with a very foreign, funny accent, well, surely this would be the last time for me. Notice that I didn't name names, yeah? Okay? All right, I didn't name names. Now, whether in jest or not, I suppose what is being conveyed is that the climb on Bukit Timah Hill is tough, right? And to rub salt into the wound, it is said that Bukit Timah Hill is not a hill, it is just a mound. That means smaller or lower than a hill. And we are already dying. But in this passage here, in this verse 9, it seems like the mountains and the hills are nothing. How come? Do you ever ask that question so when you read this? Because the beloved lover is like a gazelle or a young stag, a picture of sure-footedness and fleet-footedness and virility. One moment, the beloved hears the recognizable footsteps of a lover, and the next moment, the lover leaps, he bounds, and up away, he stands behind the wall and gazes through the window. Now this, I suggest to you, is equally a picture of great anticipation. And in great anticipation, one would perform the most Herculean of tasks. And again, I got to use myself as an illustration. I remember I was invited to my girlfriend's house, then my girlfriend, now my wife, for a meal. And I helped to move the fridge, right? And this fridge, my mother-in-law, she believes in only buying American fridge. You know American fridge? You have seen Caucasians going to the supermarket to buy their groceries. It is a one-month thing, you know. So, you know, the American size fridge is big, right, and huge. And I helped to move the fridge, you know, all by myself. You believe it or not? Now, back then, when I was a gazelle and a young stag, Well, you should see the eyes of both my girlfriend and my mother-in-law then, you know, so big, like goalie, like marble, you know. It's just like you can hear them, no? Literally hear them. Oh, alas, the gazelle, a young stag in my house. But what they did not know is that I went out of the house with a very sore back. No. Now being married with three daughters later, the mover and the shaker is actually, of the quack household, is actually my wife now. Hey, sorry, this wasn't supposed to be here. All right. So anyway, like gazelle and a stag, the lover described as light, very athletic and strong, perhaps shows also his anticipation to see his beloved in showing his prowess, his strength, right? And so the anticipation we see here made the girl recall what the guy had said. And this is where we go to point two, the lover's invitation from verse 10 to 13. Arise, my darling, and come with me. Winter has passed, rains are gone. Flowers appearing, doves cooing. And listen here, the fig tree forms its early fruit, vine spread fragrance. And then it ends again with, arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And so what the girl remembered of a lover says happened in the past, right? My lover spoke and said to me. Yet the girl currently is affected by her lover invitation with a future outlook for their relationship to be finally consummated. Now, one scholar suggests that there was a movement from past to future, from past, present to future. And how does it look like? Now, winter, the past event is winter is past, right? To present time, the flowers appear, and season of singing and cooing of doves. And the expectant future comes in the form of the fig trees having its early fruit. Now, you've got to have an early fruit before it blossoms to become full-blown, right? To become a full fruit and the blossoming of vines, which will happen, which will result in the ripening of fruits. Now, I think in English grammar, we call this what? We call this movement present perfect, right? What happened in the past has present and future effects. Now, see, this seems to be the idea behind the beloved recalling of a lover invitation to go with him, right? From verses 10 to 13. But you know what? This invitation to go frolic, right? To go frolic, to go play in the vast, verdant, very fertile land Now, when you say vast, verdant, fertile land, what comes to your mind? It expresses what? It expresses freedom, right? For those of us who are perhaps 40 and above, we should know this. The hills are alive with the sound of music. You know that? This nun is in the mountainside, so free, free from the confines of the monastery that she's in. Now, vast and verdant land does expresses freedom. And so this invitation by the lover to the beloved to come out and play, to come and frolic, to give expression to their love for one another is not without its frustration, right? First we see, right, that brings us to point three. First we see in verse 9 that the girl is behind our wall. Our wall suggests that she's perhaps behind family lines, family fence. And that the lover has to gaze through the windows and pierce through the lattice. Now, secondly, in verse 14, the dove, the girl, is said to be in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Now, such places convey a picture of inaccessibility. Now, there seems to be a physical obstacles, right, to make it difficult for them to meet each other. And so the great anticipation of the lover to see his beloved face and hear her voice is becoming increasingly frustrating. Even as you read this, can you picture it now? But more than just physical obstacles, now one commentator I read, and I agree to what he says, says that though it is true that the girl still lives in the confines of her family home and in an accessible place, perhaps verse 15 provides the answer. The answer to how the lover should be taking it. Not out of frustration, but of one of challenge anticipation. And this is in response to verse 14, show me your face, let me hear your voice. And so, point 4. As such, the girl responds to her lover by what? The beloved, the girl, responds to her lover by singing a ditty. You know what's a ditty? Every morning you turn on the car radio, there's some short singing, and that's called a ditty, a very short song, right? Or even an ancient folk tale, or even nursery rhyme. This is what's suggested. Now, this is her way of telling her lover that she is not altogether inaccessible to reach. Now, at least, here at the surface level of meaning, that this commentator suggests that there is a possibility that the girl is playing hard to get, lah. That's where the kite language comes in, ulo and tarik, right? The cat's language, mau, mau, tak mau, tak mau. Now, she's playing hard to get for a very good reason, right? For a very good reason. The reason is to remind her lover not to be frustrated, yet at the same time not to take her for granted, lest others, the foxes, may ruin their vineyards that are in bloom. So not that there is a hint of possible infidelity. The lovers are what? The lovers are here, devoted to one another. Their relationship is close, and no outsiders can trespass in. Now they are, in the Jewish language, they are betrothed to each other, right? Their relationship is as good as sealed, as by the mention of at least 5 or 6 times over in chapter 4 and 5, my sister, my bride. My sister, my bride. Now, with their Jewish background, one would know better to revere God by keeping their physical relationship pure. Lest we read wrongly and we think that they are doing all this outside of marriage. And perhaps here, the lesson would be that there will be moments of inconvenience. But we are to stay faithful and not frustrated and forget our loved ones. And so this statement affirming the faithfulness is followed in verse 16. My lover is mine and I am his, which is today's topic. He browses among the lilies. And we go to point 5, the great affirmation. Now the girl is expressing their mutual belonging. Their mutual belonging. He belongs to her just as much as she belongs to him. They own and possess each other. Their bodily sharing, right? Their bodily sharing is expressed by their words. It's an expression of their mutual love and loyalty. They of their determination to treat each other as whole persons and not just as instruments solely for mutual self-gratification, right? And such faithfulness between couples are really commendable. Here the couple are mutually and irrevocably committed to each other, right? In regard to their future marriage, that they start imagining freely the physical side of their relationship. Now, this is a very tricky bit, right? Now, of course, the final consummation of this is an act that is reserved only for the married relationship alone. Let me repeat that. The final consummation of this is an act that is reserved for the married relationship alone. And so the lovers in these songs are actually what? They're dreaming, they're thinking, they're fantasizing about the fulfillment of their relationship. And it begins perhaps with these words, browsing among the lilies, right? Browsing among the lilies needs a little bit of explaining here. To browse among the lilies is actually a metaphor to represent some very close, intimate behavior. This behavior can take the form of either as kissing or fondling some tender part of each other's body, right? And the same with rugged heels. It is said to represent the girl's breasts. Let me ask you, which serious dating couple with a view to marriage doesn't think, doesn't dream, doesn't fantasize that day? I think this is what is happening here, friends. And it's very hot under the collar now, you know. Now, it reminds me to remind couples that when couples are courting, they like to touch, you know, right? A brush of the shoulder, the brush of the hands also shook. And they know they cannot do that, but they want to. The irony of it, when a couple gets married, they can touch for all they want to. But they don't want to touch anymore. Very sad, yeah? Very sad. We will address this later, okay? All right, let's move on. All right, point 6, great trepidation. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Now, in chapter 3, we see that the girl was on her bed, right? Was on the bed all night long. Now, perhaps it is better rendered as night after night, rather than all night long. Now, night after night, the girl, in dreamlike state, half asleep, half awake, she yearns, she pines for a lover's presence to be beside her. And however, the lover prolonged absence didn't help. The lover prolonged absence actually caused much anxiety. You know that feeling of not able to sleep, not able to eat, not able to even to work. It can be very unbearable, right? And this is what the girl was going through. Now, however, this longing for her lover's presence got worse. It drives her to desperation, and from desperation to panic, even as she determines to get up and search every street and squares thoroughly in order to find him. Just when it seems utterly impossible, utterly impractical and even irrational, just when she is about to lose her mind, she found her lover. She held him so tightly that he has no chance of freeing himself till she had brought him to her mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. In chapter 3, verse 4. This is another very, very hot under the collar passage, yeah? Let me explain to you, yeah? What does it mean? If you want to make love, right? If you want to even be intimate with your loved ones, right? Would you bring her or him to your mother's house? Okay. It is said that my mother's house could literally be the chamber where motherhood becomes a reality. That is her womb. And I suggest that this meaning is actually better taken than to the one referred to of a homestead, right? So be one that you do not, whether you're married or not, you better don't take your spouse or even your loved ones to your mother's house and do it. Okay? Don't forget that. Because that would be the most unlikely place for intimacy to happen. And so it makes more sense to understand to understand it metaphorically. That is, to refer to the girl's own secret place, to the entrance to her womb, the inner sanctum of intimacy, which she longs to bring her lover to. This I copied from the commentator, because if it comes up from me, it would be very crude and rough. So, I think this is a better option, yeah? You guys understand, yeah? Okay? Very clean, very clean, yeah? Clean, clean. No RA today, clean, very clean. And so her dreamings have led her to explicit sexual fantasies, which cause her to be aroused when there is no hope or satisfaction, except in the physical presence of the one my heart loves. But she is still alone, and her fantasies even are an exercise in frustration. And so it is better then that love not be aroused or awakened until it sows desire. And what does it mean, all this, for us? In application, singles, the exhortation from this passage to you is that of what? Is that of dating. You date with a view to marriage. You date with a view to marriage. You do not date with a mindset to change when you meet with inconvenience, when expectations are not met by your standards. Now, it could be that after going out for some time, you perhaps find someone else more attractive and you want to change. Now, let me tell you an age-old and wise saying, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. Now, how many times have we found out that problems do exist also in others that seems to be ideal, that seems to be your ideal? There's no such thing like the ideal partner. Both have to work at making good the relationship. If you cannot stay committed to be faithful and committed towards one another, then start only if you can't stop. Right? Start only if you can't stop wanting to keep the relationship going. For guys, single guys, now, this passage, Song of Songs, you hear a lot of the woman's voice, right? The woman's voice, they are women by creation, are made emotional. And because of the emotional makeup of women or women, guys, be mindful that you do not toy around with their feelings. Okay? Do not toy around with the feelings of the one you love. And for girls, because you are created like this, be careful. Be careful. For both of you, the single guys and the girls, perhaps one practical thing that you can work out, it may not be the best of my suggestion, but perhaps after a few days, either could ask about either's commitment to the relationship with a view to marriage. Now, I know it is hard, but it is not impossible. Right? Okay, next, for the dating couples. Stay faithful and fidelity to each other. Stay faithful and committed to each other. You are to continue to what? You are to continue to, since you are dating, you are to continue to know and be known to each other. Even when times are rough, misunderstanding arise from different expectations, right, of each other. Even hurt because of unfulfilled expectation. Or even, well, such incidences occur every season of our life. Now, this is a true story about this girl, right, this girl, standing by her man through thick and thin. This girl is intelligent. She has lots of potential for success. Manages a division of men in a male-dominated industry, a graduate, and with very good family upbringing. She met a guy who was a dropout in school as well as a dropout in life. But nevertheless, they dated, and it was good. It was good until the guy was arrested for flouting the law of the land, and was sentenced to a few years imprisonment. Now, thinking that the relationship is over, the guy gave up all hope of ever reconciling this relationship. Now, to cut the long story short, the girl stayed on with this relationship, yeah? Although the imprisonment was an inconvenience, or even it has curtailed their courtship, the girl stayed faithful, stayed committed to the nurturing and maturing of the relationship. Or how else would you know someone deeper if at every slight agitation or inconvenience, you take the easy way out? Am I right to say that? And this guy came out and they both got married, have kids, and live like any other ordinary folks. So what is the moral of this story? Date a potential criminal. Well, that's not a bad idea actually to begin with, considering we stand condemned before God already, if not for His grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. But I suppose it is safe to say that we date, or we court, with a mindset to know each other better and accept one another, warts and all, the ugliness and also the goodness. After all, we date or court with a view to consummate within marriage. Now, this is a two-way thing. I know it is hard, but it is not impossible with God's enabling. And this is where I want to dedicate the song to the dating couples. Dedicate this song to the dating couples. Now we come to the married. We come to those who are married. Don't forget to touch each other now that you have the legal and spiritual right to do so. Now that the honeymoon period is over, may I suggest that you keep singing the Song of Songs to each other. You now have the right, every right, to arouse and awaken love. And you can do that by regularly make love to your spouse. Okay? To those who are married, I'm surprised that I'm even saying this. But how many times we married men are caught up with the busyness of life that we forget the days when we are courting, right? The days when you say sweet nothings to your girlfriend that you are the flower, I am the bee. You are the kopi o and I'm the sugar. You are the ball and I am the air. So don't forget. And husbands, given that women are made more emotional, may I suggest that perhaps you spend time together, right? And because of busyness of work, putting food on the table, which is a very commendable thing, but we also mustn't forget that our spouse, especially the woman, they need some emotional support here. After all, they look after your, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids. It's not easy. It's not easy. How do you spend time together? Well, not necessarily an expensive getaway, although it is good if you can afford it. Now, where I'm going is actually, you can actually bring your spouse, stroll along the beach, hold hands, hold shoulder, hug each other. Or somewhere both you and your wife likes to go. Spending time by having coffee, not necessarily Starbucks, maybe where you started. I started out in coffee shops, actually. So, hawker centers. And communicate, right? Communicate love. Not only with your speech, communicate love with your eyes. You know, that's how you know, no? Whether that person is sincere or not, no? Right? Communicate love with your touch, with your smell. Make sure you use the best Audi toilet that your wife likes. Do the things that you do together when you were courting, okay? For guys and wives. I know wives also wield some kind of power, you know, at home. Don't forget to invite your husband to your mother's house, okay? Okay, I'll just leave it at that. For those who understand, will understand. I've already explained. Or perhaps the marriage the marriage are in different seasons of our lives, right? When you are no longer a stag or a fawn anymore of 10, 20, 30 years ago. And I'm not recommending the blue or the pink pill, right? Do you know there's a pink pill out in the market? You know, right? The romance of romantic love must move on to the romance of mature love. And this we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now the next one will be for everyone. It applies to everyone, whether you are single, you're dating, you're married. What we can learn here is long absences from relationship will prove very trying. Now, this shouldn't be taken as a blanket thing, right? But generally, it would prove difficult, right? Long distances relationship. Now, while the saying of absence makes the hearts grow fonder is true, it is only partially true. At least, from today's passage, what I glean is more like absence makes the head and the heart wander. Not wander, oh? Not wonder, it's W-O-N, but it's one, W-A-N, wander about. You think this, you think that, then you start to doubt, then suspect, then accusing, and then it just makes you desperate and depressed, right? This is what the songs, this morning passage tells us as well. Now we see this great frustration of the lover and the beloved. The lover has got physical obstacles, perhaps with long distance is more a geographical issue. And for the beloved, her angst, of prolonged absence for her lover's presence has proved to be very frustrating for her as well. And you don't want to put you or your significant other through this, right? Now I hope you will have something to mull over when you have either brunch or lunch after this. Relationship, romance, love and sex is something God has made for His good creation to enjoy. And we must not shy from expressing such kind of love in the right way as God has intended. And we see the greatest expression of such amazing love from God the Father, sacrificing His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in paying the penalty for our sin so that we may live. And I shall invite the music team here to close us with this song, Amazing Love. Let us all rise, please. God's blessing. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. And God's people say, Amen. Maybe see